It's an honor. I have to figure out my phone here. The kids called my phone an old grandma phone, but it works. So, Ishu, good morning, everyone. Again, I'm sorry about not being able to be on the computer, but my computer's been in the repair shop for many months. So, thank you for allowing me to be here via phone. And the way that we always start things is with a prayer. So, if no one is offended, I'd like to go ahead and do that. Creator, oh great one, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for this gift of life. Thank you for this heartbeat. We thank you. Thank you for this precious gift of life. We thank you for bringing us all together here, Creator. Thank you. We ask, Creator, that you be with us in this time. One body, one mind, one spirit, and guided by you, Creator, and all our many great teachers. Not Han, many of our elders, many of the great ones, and the old ones, Creator. We know without the old ones, the ancestors, we would not be here. So, Creator, I ask that the original people, original spirits of the lands where we all sit upon or stand upon, come and be with us and be with our ancestors. We thank you, Creator, again, for bringing us all together. Ho, Creator, ho. Oh, Ishu, good morning. Ah, what a week it's been, huh? And how great it is that we can be together here, loving and supporting one another. When all this happens, it's like, whoa. The first thing was, for me was like, whoa, okay. And I think about my uncle, because he would always say, when you need the most gratitude is during the most difficult time. We would always say, be the most grateful during the most difficult time. And I really thought about that this week. And of course, as all of us, as we go through challenging times, we really look for sources of inspiration. And one thing that came to me is I've spent quite a bit of time with Garchen Rinpoche, and he was really good friends with Thich Nhat Hanh. And he was in one of the worst prisons in Tibet that there was. And this is a little excerpt that he shared with us about Kempo Munsell, who was in the prison at the same time. And he shared these words with Garchen. To me, in this world, there are two types of beings. My benefactors of love and my benefactors of patience. A majority of my benefactors of love are very kind and help me. And some try to cause harm and create obstacles. These are my benefactors of patience. The kindness of each benefactor is equal, and thus my love for them is equal. Maybe my benefactors of patience are even kinder to me than they, because they allow me to practice the perfection of patience. I am very grateful to all those who do not like me and make me tame my anger. At the same time, I feel great compassion for their sorrow. But as they allow me to practice patience, my anger and jealousy gradually diminish and they become my teachers. Thus, in the end, my anger and jealousy are no more. And this is due to their great kindness. So I think about our great teachers, Thich Nhat Hanh. Wow, what a loving example of that pure love. I mean, his actions, his words, everything that he did in his life And look at the tremendous obstacles that he faced time and time again. I was thinking of some of the things that he's written and sharing with us some of his difficult times. And I think it was the poem, Call Me By My True Name, that was written when he was in Vietnam and working with the school there, Youth and Social Services. So, anyway, and so many had been killed. And he was like, you know, what am I going to say to them the next day so that we can continue our work? So I'd really like to recommend that you take a look at that. I always go to that when I'm having difficult times. And so I was thinking about Ty and like, oh, if he was here, what would he do? Well, I think of some of the difficult times that happened while he wasn't alive. And I know that he took his time before he responded. And often many days. And our elders back home have the very same sort of teaching. To just be with what is. And I think about Ty talking about stopping, breathing, listening, stopping everything that we do, and breathing, being very aware of our breath, and listening. And I was thinking about a talk that he did, and it was dealing with deep, strong emotion. And he talked a lot about the young people that, you know, I want your young people face many difficult things. And he talks about, you know, simply stopping and being with our breath and taking a really, really, really deep breath in, as deep as we can take, and then letting it out as deep as we can let it out. And then he suggests that we share this with young people, that we put a hand on our abdomen and we take a really, really, really deep breath in. And we slowly take a really, really deep breath. And I know he shared with us through the years that when we are really in mindfulness with our breath, it can bring great peace in that very moment. And I know many of you have experienced all these great teachings, Mari Sella and the Sangha, which were touched upon today. My gosh, the meditation and the movement, how that was shared, was very, very beautiful. So being with that breath, following it, as he used to say, all the way through, that we really become aware that we are alive, and that we're breathing. Wow, guess what? Calming down. When we can bring calm to ourselves, and bring calm to this. And I was thinking a situation that happened just a number of years ago. Some of the people probably heard this story. But many, many years ago, when my two aunts and uncle were still alive, they've all gone to spirit world. And we were invited down to a meeting hundreds of miles away. Pretty sure it was in the winter, and we got in the car. But before we left, we always wait to accept the invite, because the elders always used to say we have to see our way clear. So we were invited, and my aunts and uncle, they didn't say anything. But they prayed, really, really prayed to see. We were invited again, and again they prayed. And, you know, I know now that they were doing a lot of intention and prayer to paving their way. I know that they could see some obstacles. And yet, by the third time that we were invited, you know, they nodded their head yes, that we would go. And I know they had been praying through that whole process. And so when we left, of course, we did a lot of preparation and prayer, and we left, and we eventually got there, and there was some challenges, but we just kept mindfully working our way there. And when we pulled into the parking lot of this building, we could hear all this yelling and shouting and screaming and fighting. And I, oh, my God. First thing I wanted to do was get out of there, but then I thought, no, I've driven everybody down there. But they just quietly sat in the car and just meditated prayer. And the people of that land invited us in, and my uncle shook his head. We just stayed in the car, and they continued to pray and pray. And they, so the people came and kept, you know, offering us to come in and coffee and food. And uncle shook his head. And as a car full of people continued to pray and pray, all the yelling and screaming became more quiet. And eventually it was more. Oh. So, and then they came once more, and my uncle shook his head again. Because now I know that, you know, he had to wait till they settled in. And that they were through those real strong emotions and the destruction of craziness. And then eventually they came once again and invited him in. And my uncle, we walked in there, and they, oftentimes in tribal halls, they have the benches against the wall. So we sat on a bench along the wall. And they came and started, you know, offering us things. And my uncle shook his head again. We were just all quiet and just observing, listening, feeling. Finally, when everyone in the room had sat down and things became really, really quiet, my uncle began to talk. And he was basically, what he was saying is that they both were fighting, you know, they both wanted the same thing. There was, had been a dispute. They're two tribes that are real close together, and there had been some kind of land dispute. But the deepest love they had was the love for their children. And so when he pointed out, like, what he had seen and he had experienced it, I mean, everybody in the whole building began to weep. You know? And there was such a great healing. And then, of course, you know, we had food and feasting and all that. But it was such a great teaching. And, you know, it's the same teachings as Thai or Garchen, you know. It's all these ways that we listen. You know, we have all these great senses to have, but, you know, if we're just mindful enough, we see, we hear, we know, all these things that give us so much information that very moment. And, you know, another thing that elders always used to say is that the very next step that you can take can be the step of heaven on earth. You have that within you. And we work a lot with young people. We try to really instill in them that even if the last step is really where they had been was really, really awful, that next step can be different. You know? And that's that step that Thay talks of being mindful. Look at this great practice we have. Look at all these wonderful, wonderful tools that I have. Walking meditation that really, the next step we take can be heaven on earth. I absolutely love to work with kids. And like Culture Camp, we have littles, I guess they call them littles, mediums, and larges. And the littles can come to camp if they're independent enough at 3. And it's so funny because, we introduce walking meditation to them. We try to introduce it in a very cultural, very loving way that's compatible with the beliefs of wherever we are. But, it's all about love and compassion. So the littles, but oh my gosh, we're not walking one behind the other. No, there's no way. We are walking side by side, arm in arm. And so all the littles got together in arm, and they are doing walking meditation. So, oh my gosh, it was so beautiful. That just gave me so much hope for our young people. When you think about these little tidbits in life, now when we have the good opportunities to go culture camp, we do that again. And we usually start with the littles because the bigs don't want to do it. They're on to other things. It was so funny because they were so intrigued by what the littles were doing that they actually followed the littles. So, and in our culture, and in all cultures too, young people are so close to the Creator. I mean, they have that pure essence, and they are such incredible teachers. That's a little bit about culture camp. I mean, want to go back to Thay a little bit. Dealing with these strong emotions. Well, we have a lot of opportunity to do that, huh? Ooh. And I love when Thay talks about that we are more than our emotions. We're made up of so many wonderful, beautiful things. Our people, we are the mountains. We are the trees. We are the flowers and the water and wheat. Everything on this earth. Because you can't separate. And each and every one of you are too. We are all that we're around. The greeting that I greet everybody with in our language means not only just greeting to you, but everything that's around you, all your ancestors, all those ones with you. You can't separate us from any of that. We're all in the Creator's light. And so I was thinking about Thay more than our emotions. Really, his teachings of breathing together, really being present, and how important community is. And, he's given us so many tools. He's given us this great tool of stopping, looking, listening, breathing, being aware of our breathing, mindful eating. Look how great mindful meditation is. Oh, my God. And you feel like you're wired to the tilt and can't take any more. Wow. He used to always say if you could just take one step, mindfulness, you can trade things in. And I think about the great gifts that we've been given. The elders used to always say that in the most difficult times, again, be so grateful, showing gratitude. And didn't. How great it is that we have this gift of life. Wow, isn't that amazing? That we wake up in the morning, the Creator has given us this gift. Wow. That's denied, you know, many. And wow, what a preciousness that we have. And the ability to share with others, to listen, excuse me, to others, you know, to be with others. And I think another thing that I've really been thinking about as we've gone through this class is impermanence. Nothing stays around forever. Our seasons change, our days change, light, dark, I mean, the north is quite the extreme. But, you know, I used to talk about, you know, looking at the person that's in front of you that you're having such a difficult time with. Think about them in 30 or 40 or 100 years from now. All going to come and go. The third thing I was thinking about is karma, cause and effect. So I talked about it as action. Those have helped me along the journey of trying to understand this last week. And so here we are in community. Wow. How powerful we can be. You know, when the sky is really dark. There's two stars that are close together. Light even brighter. So I always think about, you know, when people come together, wow, they can create a lot of light for those in the darkness. And actually save a lot of lives. And I was thinking about, well, how do we take an action? Community is a great place to, you know, now we have even a bigger opportunity to make our light shine. Coming together and sharing, loving and supporting and listening, being able to listen to the pain, sometimes that's pretty difficult. But, you know, if you can truly do that and lessen somebody's burden, and Ty used to always say, if you can truly, truly listen to someone, you can lessen their many, many, many fold. So, you know, that's a great thing that we can do for one another. And not just listening with our ears, but our heart. You know, as Ty says, and the others, just, you know, when you're truly heard, things change inside. Huh? Yeah, really, really do. And that's why I think it's so important to be with like-minded people in community. Because things have been kind of rough. You know, we gain our strength and we gain our direction. And then we can come together and think about our strength and what kind of plan or direction we put forth to overcome whatever obstacle in our path. Another thing that I've learned from the elders was, and it's still very much in my life, is that There's always something we can do for us, even in the most difficult time, the most challenging situation. There's always something we can do. And one thing I learned from my mom, it doesn't have to be anything major. Maybe it's just a smile. It's a child in the grocery store. And look at Ty's teachings about smiling. I remember encountering Ty many years ago. And, oh my gosh, how can you smile when you feel horrible? It's like, oh wow, I just started smiling. And it's like, wow. People smile back that you would never think would smile back. And so, but remembering, you know, creating heaven on earth and just the small things that you can do and give people hope, give that, give a new way to look at things. And again, to be understood on whatever level. I know we've all had those encounters where, you know, we see someone having such a difficult time and we just simply send them love. You know, and there's all that research that, you know, that's helped people to live through very difficult times. And I personally know that in my own life. A number of years ago, I was hurt in a really bad accident. Wavered between two worlds quite some time. But when I was in the hospital laying on my back, I feel a thousand hands underneath me. And when I looked in my mind's eye, I kept seeing all that I didn't know. And I knew those people were praying. And I knew in dreams that it was. I became so aware of my breathing. All I could do was lay in a hospital. Ooh, had some ear to ear. Wow. Almost like a retreat in a whole different way. But the awareness that came, and sometimes the Creator slows you down so much. You learn those lessons. You know, time went on and I gain strength, continue to realize how I could help people. Now we think about seeing those hands, those prayers that support our brothers and sisters in especially difficult. I think about how great it is to have Sangha. How great it is to have places we can come, share teachings about great people. And not only share the teachings, but live them. We've had some very powerful retreats. And I mean, look how powerful this Sangha can be. You know, when you're really heard, when you can really pour out in your heart the deep pain and be heard, something changes. I used to go to this ceremony one time, a number of years, I don't know, in Canada. And if a song comes to you, and but never been sung publicly. And the spirits will definitely push you out in a circle when it's time for you to sing. And when you sing, when you share the song, you have all your giveaway on you. The blankets are on you, handkerchiefs, jewelry, whatever. You carry it all the way around as you go all around the hall, in a circle, anytime, and you sing your song. And what is on your back, what you're holding, are items that have been given to you, saying, I'd like to give you this handkerchief. Would you please pray? Excuse me, for my nephew, who's sick right now. Would you please pray for my aunt that's in the hospital? Anyway, all these things that you're carrying and on your back are prayers. And as you go around and as you're singing, people are welcomed to come and get each one of those things one by one to pray for that person, that family situation. And so, bit by bit, your prayers have gone out into the world, and your burden has been lessened. All of a sudden, you don't have all this stuff on you, and your hands are no longer full. And so, I think about that in life, because in a lot of ways, that's what we do for others. You know? How can I help? What can I do? You know, and as soon as we share that, that prayer goes out, or that intention, or whatever you might want to call it. And guess what? That person feels better. The situation, nothing better. You know, all because you prepared enough to listen, to take time, and to take action. So I think about, like, how do we move forward? Of course, being in the moment, continuing to strengthen ourselves, continuing to be in community. You know, a number of people have heard this. We're all beings of a circular way of life. And there's many things in our daily life that have to go from living out on the land, with the moon, and the sun, stars, and the northern lights, and the cold, and all those things to not particular. So energy moves differently. The one thing I've learned from the elders, how do you deal with that? Some people call, you know, all this moving into box. You know, the elders always said, first of all, you have to strengthen the center. Ongoing. And then you have to round out the corner. That's kind of funny. We're always looking at ways to round out the corner. So energy moves, flows. Look at nature. It moves and flows. Two-legged to alter it a little bit. And again, you know, look what prayers do. They take down dams and fish come back. And so there's lots of change. thing I've really come to know is not to ever underestimate what you can do. Always something that you can do to help. And so, strengthening within yourself. Strengthening within your Sangha. Wow. I think we're powerless, but that's really a joke, right? Creator gave us a precious human life. It's unbounded what we can do. And when we have our love and support, wow. Really unbounded. You know, there's that, I don't know, I think it's a poem or something, and it's like the footprints in the sand or something. It's like, all of a sudden there's footprints on the sand, and then there isn't any, and they go, well, what happened? And they go, that was the time that you carried us. So if you think about that, that's what we can do right now, is we can carry ourselves, and we can carry one and the other through simply little things. I love you, or a cup of tea, or, you know, all those great things. Great things. And, you know, I'm always doing kind of crazy things. But sometimes I just show up. Again, we're people in circles, so I like to draw a big circle. And I think about, and Ty talked about this a lot too, and so did the elders. You know, what truly brings you joy? What brings you happiness? What brings you strength? This morning I got up and I made this giant circle. And I put all these great things in. I'm so grateful for it. You know, then when things are sometimes a little tough, I can look at that. You know, and how great, I'm sure many of you are artists and lots of different forms, arts in all kinds of forms, painting, colors, movement, sound. Wow. Now you can create this beautiful thing. That's because we're beautiful inside. You know, it's just simply sharing what we are. So, I want to leave some time for questions. I just want to thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to chat with you. And what a true gift it is to be in your presence and to all be together. And I'm so grateful that you have the Sangha where you can come together in love. Okay with everybody, I would just like to open for questions.